السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة
الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، وما بعد. فالحمد لله على ما من به من تكرار هذه المجالس، مجالس العلم، فحي الله طلبة العلم.
الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى بيان ويستني فرد خطبة الحاجة وتزود فرد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في كان يسكي جزود والله يستني بيان ربي جزود to Allah we praise him, we seek his assistance and we seek his forgiveness, we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil recompense of our bad actions. Whosoever Allah guides, no one can cause to go astray, and whosoever Allah deems to go astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger. And then the Shaykh Hafidhahullah ta'ala proceeded to thank Allah azza wa jalla for allowing us to come together in continuation of these blessed gatherings, the gatherings of studying the books of knowledge. And the Shaykh Hafidhahullah ta'ala welcome the students of knowledge. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. يقول مسند أبو زكريا اليحيى بن شرف النووي رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه رياض الصالحين: باب فضل الجوع وخشونة العيش والاقتصار على القليل من المأكول والمشروب والملبوس وغيرها من حبوب النفس وترك الشهوات.
هذا الباب يعني أن الإنسان كل ما تقلل كل ما كان أخف عليه الحساب.
The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that the title of this chapter indicates that as much as the individual is minimal with regards to these affairs from the dunya, the less he's going to be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. قال رحمه الله تعالى وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: والله الذي لا إله إلا هو إن كنت لأعتمد بكبدي على الأرض من الجوع، وإن كنت لأشد الحجر على بطني من الجوع، ولقد قعدت يوما على طريقهم الذي يخرجون منه، فمر بي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فتبسم حين رآني وعرف ما في وجهي وما في نفسي، ثم قال: أنا هر. قلت: لبيك يا رسول الله. قال: الحق. ومضى فتبعته فدخل فاستأذن فأذن لي، فدخل فوجد لبنا في قدح فقال: من أين هذا اللبن؟ قالوا: أهداه لك فلان أو فلانة. قال: أنا هر. قلت: لبيك يا رسول الله. قال: الحق إلى أهل الصفة فدعوهم لي. قال: وأهل الصفة أضياف الإسلام لا يأبون على أهل ولا مال ولا على أحد، وكان إذا أتته صدقة بعث بها إليهم ولم يتناول منها شيئا، وإذا أتته هدية أرسل إليهم وأصاب منها وأشرفهم فيها، فسألني ذلك فقلت: وما هذا لهم في أهل الصفة؟ كنت أحق أن أصيب من هذا اللبن شربة أتقوى بها، فإذا جاءوا أمرني فكنت أنا أعطيهم، وما عسى أن يبلغني من هذا اللبن ولم يكن من طاعة الله وطاعة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم بد، فأتيتهم فدعوتهم فأقبلوا واستأذنوا فأذن لهم وأخذوا مجالسهم من البيت. قال: يا أبا هر. قلت: لديك يا رسول الله. قال: خذ فأعطهم. قال: فأخذت القدح فجعلت أعطيها الرجل فيشرب حتى يروى، ثم يرد علي القدح فأعطيه الآخر فيشرب حتى يروى، ثم يرد علي القدح فأعطيه الآخر فيشرب حتى يروى، ثم يرد علي القدح حتى انتهيت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فروي القوم كلهم فأخذ القدح ووضعه على يده ونظر إلي فتبسم فقال أما هر؟ قلت لبيك يا رسول الله. قال بقيت وأنا وأنت. قلت صدقت يا رسول الله. قال اقعد فاشرب. فقعدت فشربت. فقال اشرب فشربت. فما زال يقول اشرب حتى قلت لا والذي بعثك بالحق ما أجد له مسلكا. قال فأرني. فأعطيته القدح فحمد الله تعالى وسلم وشرب الفضل. رواه البخاري.
هذا الحديث فيه معجزات.
الشيخ رحمه الله تعالى استدل ان الحديث معجزات وميراكلز
وتنبيهات.
And also تنبيهات for things that are brought to our attention.
في تبدل الاحوال.
With regards to the changing of times and conditions.
هذا في بداية الإسلام.
And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that this was in the beginning of Islam.
في المدينة.
In Medina.
والأحوال أحوال جوع.
And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that the condition was a condition of جوع or hunger.
وهذا نموذج.
And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that this is a model or example.
بلغ به من الجوع.
And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that what afflicted him from hunger.
أنه يعتمد بكبده على الأرض من الجوع، يعني يريد أن يستشعر بردها وبللها على كبده.
The Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that in this hadith shows the severity of the hunger that he would lay on the ground so that the coolness of the earth would calm or ease the pain that he felt from the hunger.
وهذا في كل عصر.
And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that this is the situation in every time.
هناك من يتألم من الجوع.
There are those individuals who experience this pain due to the hunger. They experience hunger pains.
وهناك من يتألم من الشبع.
And there are those individuals who experience this pain from the severity of their شبع or their being full or their being satiated.
يؤلمه بطنه فيضع عليه الحجر ويشده حتى هذا الحجر يرجع ذلك الألم ويخففه.
The Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that also illustrated in this hadith is that from the severity of this hunger that he would put this rock or this stone and press it against his stomach to ease the pain that he felt or incurred from the severity of this hunger.
يجلس على طريق فرآه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And also mentioned the fact that Abu Huraira sat on the street and he saw, or the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw him.
يقول فرآني فعرف ما في وجهي وما في نفسي، ما في وجهي من الجوع وما في نفسي من الرغبة من الأكل، عطني.
And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى mentioned that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, as mentioned in this hadith from Abu Huraira, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم upon seeing Abu Huraira, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم recognized on his face the hunger that he was experiencing and the situation of himself that he was in need.
هذا
الحياة. And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that this is life.
هي ابتلاء.
And that this life is an ابتلاء or test.
كم غني؟
And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that how many times there is a rich person or how many rich people
أصبح فقير.
How many rich people have become poor.
أنت كذلك مرت بك حالات غنى أو العكس مرت بك حالات فقر فأصبحت الآن عندك مال وعندك خير.
And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that even in our personal lives there are those of us who have experienced poverty and there are those and now we are in a comfortable status. And the opposite as well.
عندك أب، عندك أم، عندك أسرة.
You have a mother, you have a father, you have a family.
مات أبوك، ماتت أمك، ماتت زوجتك، تطلقت زوجتك، فارقتها، مات الأولاد، تغيرت الحياة.
And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى is mentioning the different changes that may take place in a person's family life. For example, the individual may lose his father, he may lose his mother, a woman may be divorced, an individual's wife may pass away. All of these illustrate the changes that an individual may experience in his own personal life and those changes that take place, the changes of one situation that he may be in. And the Shaykh رحمه الله تعالى stated that like this is life.
يقول لما رآني عرف ما في وجهي ما في نفسي دعاني ذهبت معه البيت.
When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Abu Huraira, he recognized on the face of Abu Huraira what he was experiencing and what Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu felt for what he needed. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to invite him to his house.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kareem.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was generous.
وليس في الأنبياء نبي بخيل.
And the Shaykh Abu Dawud ta'ala stated that there is no prophet amongst the prophets who was bakhil or miserly.
وجدت البيت لبن.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم upon his entering his home, he found that there was lemon.
واللبن شراب وطعم.
And the Shaykh Abu Dawud ta'ala stated that one of the qualities of lemon is that it is a drink, but it is also considered food.
سأل من أين جاء.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he asked, from where is this lemon? Where is this lemon from?
قالوا هدية.
And it was stated to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that it was a gift.
لأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يقبل الصدقة.
Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he doesn't accept صدقة.
ولا تحل له الصدقة.
And it is not permissible for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to partake in or take from the صدقة or the charity.
وكذا آله.
And likewise, his progeny for his family.
وكان يقبل الهدية.
Yet the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم would accept gifts.
فإذا أتت الصدقة أرسلها لأهل الصفة. أهل الصفة منهم مجموعة أتوا دخلوا في الإسلام ليس لهم مصادر رزق وكانوا يصلون في المسجد ويحضرون دروس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والصلاة ومجالس صلى الله عليه وسلم وما أتاهم من الصدقات أكلوا. كانت إذا أتى الصدقة يرسلها وإذا أتى هدية يناديهم فيطعم.
And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he was giving something out of sadaqah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send the sadaqah to the people of Ahl al-Sukhra. And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala proceeded to explain, well, who are these people? Ahl al-Sukhra. They were the people who entered into Islam. They did not have jobs, they did not have family, and due to this fact, they would live in the masjid. They would attend the lessons of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the salat, of course, in the masjid, and the gatherings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given sadaqah, he would send it to the people of Ahl al-Sukhra. And if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a gift, he would partake in it with him.
Abu Huraira bin Mara' al-Laban,
when Abu Huraira, he saw this lemon, he wanted to drink from
it.
It was in a qadah, which is a small, like a small bowl.
فقال له أبا هر.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called out to Abu Huraira. He said, "Ya Aba Hir."
وهذا تصغير.
And the Shaykh Abu Dawud ta'ala stating that this is a form of تصغير.
والعرب تصغر لفرات مقاصد.
And the Shaykh Abu Dawud ta'ala stating that this is something that the Arabs use for different reasons, for different rationale, different reasons behind that.
تصغر. للتحقيق.
And the Shaykh Abu Dawud ta'ala stated that this is used sometimes to debase an individual or humiliate.
تصغر للتمليح.
And also تمليح, يعني like to say something nice or something affectionate to someone.
وتصغر للتعظيم.
And also it may be used for تعظيم or to exalt something or someone.
كأن يقال للداهية دويهية.
For example, the Shaykh gave this example of the دويهية.
هذا تعظيم.
And the Shaykh Abu Dawud ta'ala said that this is a form of تعظيم that the Arabs use.
أبا هر تقول يا عائش هذا تمليح.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم just like he said أبا هر, he would say يا عائش to his family as a form of an affectionate way of calling them.
والتحقيق هذا معروف في كل اسم عندما يصغر يريدون تحقيق.
And the Shaykh Abu Dawud ta'ala said that likewise the Arabs use this linguistical form as a form of debasing or humiliating someone or belittling someone.
يقول فلما قال أبا هر نادي أهل الصفة.
When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated that when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called out to Abu Huraira and he said, call the people of Ahl al-Sufah.
يقول سائني.
And Abu Huraira, he mentioned سائني, يعني this is
a pleasure. ما لست راضي.
يعني this seems to say that happened that they would partake in the leaven with him. They would share with his leaven with him.
لكن ليس من طاعة الله ورسوله بد.
But Abu Huraira stated that he must obey the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He must obey Allah عز وجل and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he taught him.
علمه صلى الله عليه وسلم.
And the Shaykh of the Lord said, "Listen, another Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught him."
وأدبه فهو رب الصحابة.
And he disciplined him because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he raised and cultivated the Sahaba.
فلما أتوا.
And when they came.
أعطاه القدح.
And he gave the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم gave Abu Huraira this bowl or this bowl that had the love in it.
قال اسقهم.
And he said, let them give them this vessel to drink from.
ويعطي الرجل.
And Abu Huraira said that he would give the vessel to someone.
ويشرب الرجل.
And he said that he would drink from it.
ويعطيه القدح.
And he would give the vessel back to Abu Huraira.
ويعطيه الآخر.
And Abu Huraira would give the next person, the next individual, the same vessel.
حصلت معجزة.
And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala said that this is a mu'jiza or a miracle which took place.
أن قدح اللبن لم ينقصه.
The fact that this vessel of leaven, يعني none of the leaven that was therein, was diminished from these individuals as they drank from it.
فما بقي إلا هو رسول الله.
So after everyone in the gathering drank, there was only Abu Huraira and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم left who didn't drink.
قال اشرب.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told Abu Huraira, he said drink.
اشرب.
And Abu Huraira drank upon the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم telling him to do so.
قال اشرب.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said again, drink.
اشرب.
And he drank again.
قال اشرب.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded him again, drink. And Abu Huraira continued to drink.
قال يا رسول الله لا أجد له مسألة.
And some say that Abu Huraira said that there's no I'm full, there's no place for the other to go.
أراد أن يعلمه أن الرزق.
And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he wanted to exemplify to Abu Huraira and teach him that the risk that the risk it will come to you. It's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
والبركة من الله.
And the barakah of the blessing is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
إذا تكاثرت الأيدي على الطعام فتعال البركة.
And what comes in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that if the hands are multiplied that partake or share the food, this is the ad'a, or this is more deserving of barakah, the blessing.
يقول العلماء.
And the scholars they have said,
هذا فيه دليل أن جواز الشبع إلى النهاية.
And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that this shows that this example by the ulama have extrapolated from this that this is proof that it's permissible to shab'a or to be to reach one to be satiated or to reach one's full from drinking and to the point of not being able to drink anymore or eating
anymore.
Because it comes in the hadith that a third for drinking, a third for eating, a third for
drinking.
And if the individual eats enough, that his back is upright. And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala is saying that this is the general understanding of the general condition of the individual. There's a third for eating, a third for drinking, and a third for his
breathing.
And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that this hadith exemplifies that if an individual eats to the point where he's satiated, he cannot drink or eat anymore, that this is permissible.
بدليل أن أبو هريرة يقول لا أجد له مسألة.
And the proof of that is the fact that Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه stated that, oh Rasul Allah, there is no room for it. I can't drink anymore.
فشرب الفضل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الباقي.
And in the end part of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank the remaining amount.
وهذا لأنهم أتوه فهو قدمهم على نفسه صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهكذا المكرم لا يسابق أضيافه في الطعام والشراب إنما يقدمهم على نفسه.
And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the last to drink as they had come to him. They were the guests of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that this is the affair of the mukram, of the person who is being generous, of the person who is hosting, that he does not put himself before his guests. Rather, he puts his guests before him when it comes to drinking and eating.
حديث عظيم في فوائد كثيرة.
And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala said that this is a very big hadith with numerous benefits. قال رحمه الله تعالى وعن محمد بن سيرين عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال لقد رأيتني وإني لأخر فيما بين منبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إلى حجرة عائشة رضي الله عنها.
هنا تنبيه، قال فأعطيته القدح.
The Shaykh Habibullah said that there is a tenbih here that he gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the qadah for this vessel.
فحمد الله تعالى وسمى وشرب.
The fact that it comes in this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon taking the vessel from Abi Huraira, it's stated here in this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam praised Allah azza wa jal and then سمى.
انتشرت رسالة قبل مدة.
The Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that there was a message being passed before some time.
And هناك سنة مهجورة الناس تركوها ويعرفونها ويجهلونها.
That there's a sunnah that has been left and that many of the people do not know this sunnah or they are ignorant of this sunnah.
أنك تقول الحمد لله قبل أن تقول بسم الله.
That the person says الحمد لله before he says بسم الله.
هذا فهم خاطئ.
The Shaykh Abu Dawud Ta'ala stated that this understanding is incorrect.
فالحمد ليس قبل التسليم.
The Shaykh Abu Dawud Ta'ala stated that the hamd before saying alhamdulillah, it is not before saying bismillah.
حمد الله على هذه النعمة.
The Shaykh Abu Dawud Ta'ala stated that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he praised Allah for this blessing.
حمد الله على أن هذا القدح كفى الجميع.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he praised Allah due to the fact that this level is sufficed for everybody who is there in the gathering.
قال فسمى وشرب. إذن هنا سنة منفصلة.
And the Shaykh sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that this is the sunnah that is منفصلة or separate from the statement that was before it.
وقبل الأكل التسمية يا غلام سم الله وقل بيمين.
Because before when he enters drinks he says bismillah, which has come in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says to the young boy, he said, oh غلام, say bismillah before you eat or drink.
قبل الأكل البسملة.
And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala is bringing to our attention that before when we eat or drink, he has to say bismillah.
إذا انتهى من الطعام فقال الحمد لله الذي أطعمني هذا ورزقني من غير حول مني ولا قوة ألا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. فالحمد بعد الأكل بعد الشرب.
And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala is saying that it comes in the hadith that the individual who he praises Allah Azza wa Jalla after eating, and it comes in the hadith that the individual who states that he praises Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for this provision, that he is the one who is providing the individual with no power or strength or might from it, then if the person says this, then he is forgiven for his sins that have preceded. The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala is saying that the hamd that is said, and this is after eating or drinking.
وهذا يجعلنا ننتبه أن كثير من الرسائل التي تأتي في التواصل.
And the Shaykh Abu Dawud Ta'ala stated that this brings to our attention that many of these messages that we receive on these different social network programs.
وتختم بانشر تؤجر.
And they say, for example, spread this message and you will be rewarded.
يمكن تنشر تأتم.
And the Shaykh Abu Dawud Ta'ala stated that the reality is that you may spread it and تأتم, يعني in person, by spreading this letter or message.
ليكن هاتفك مقبرة لهذه الرسائل. ليكن أنت مساعد لما لا تعلمه علما شرعيا.
The Shaykh Abu Dawud Ta'ala stated that let your home be the graveyard for these type of messages, not you partaking in sending and spreading these messages, especially what you do not know with regards to the hukm shari or the sharia legislation with regards to the object at hand or the situation at hand, which is included in a particular message. And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala wants to bring to our attention an issue.
Al-ilm.
The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that al-ilm, knowledge, is that which is known. يعني إذا زاوج الزوج إن شائع أو widespread.
إذا وجدت الشيء غريب.
If you find something which is strange, غريب.
أو شاذ.
Or شاذ, meaning that it goes against that which is well known.
لا تستعجل بنشره أو قبوله. تحقق منه.
The Shaykh رضي الله تعالى said, do not be hasty in spreading that. Rather, authenticate, تحقق, authenticate and investigate the issue.
خاصة في الأمور الشائعة الذائعة.
Especially with regards to affairs that are widespread and known amongst the people. They're
not hidden. إذا الأكل والشرب.
For example,
الحمد لله.
For example, drinking and eating.
ولذلك الغرائب سواد تنتشر في الناس.
The Shaykh of the Lord has stated that this gharaib, these gharaib, those things that they're the shawad, those things that are different from that which are well known, يعني the people are encouraged to spread these things.
وقيل قديما.
And it was said, يعني in times of old.
من تتبع الغرائب.
So, those individuals who follow those things that are strange, they, يعني become, يعني they have fallen into shadow or is hard against that which is well known.
الغرائب ليست.
The Shaykh of Allah is saying that the gharah of these strange affairs, this is not knowledge.
ولذلك لما قام أحدهم فتحدث وهو من العلماء فقال أحد الجالسين هذا الكلام نعرفه قال ما لا يعرف ليس علم.
And the Shaykh of Allah said that it was said a time ago that an individual and he was from the ulama, he stood up and gave a speech and the individual said we know this. And the Shaykh of Allah said that that which is not known is or that which is known is علم.
بل حذرنا من أن ننقل بل من علامات الساعة أن يتكلم الناس بما لم يسمعوا من آبائهم ولا أمهاتهم لم يسمعوا في من قبلهم بمثل هذا فيبتلون بأصحاب الغرائب والشواذ والنوادر.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى سيد من المسكين يعني the signs of the hour, the last hour is that the people will be told things that their fathers and mothers did not know. And then there will be people who will come with these strange things. And who said that these gharat, I mean that this is not knowledge. And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala said, things that you are, take care of, beware of this issue. And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala said that there is a difference between jahl sunnah, being ignorant of an issue or an affair from the sunnah, or not knowing a particular affair from the sunnah.
وبين اهتمام الجهال بالغرائب والشرع.
And there's a difference between that, being ignorant of the sunnah, and being يعني these ignorant people spreading these غرائب and عجائب, these strange and amazing affairs.
بل بعض الناس يريد أن يتميز فتجده دائما يهتم بالغرائب.
And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that there are those individuals they want to be distinguished by spreading this type of gharaib or these strange affairs or these things that are not known or never heard of. Right. There are those people who want to be distinguished due to this
fact.
And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that the people of knowledge, the scholars, they have warned from the likes of these individuals. قال رحمه الله تعالى وعن محمد بن سيرين عن ابي هريره رضي الله عنه قال فقد رايتني واني لاخر فيما بين منبر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الى حجره عائشه رضي الله عنها مغشيا علي فيجيء الجاري فيضع رجله على عنقي ويرى اني مجنون وما بي من جنون وما بي الا الجوع رواه البخاري.
يعني يرونه يمشي ويسقط فيظنونه مصروع ممسوس في جني يضع بعضهم قدمه على ركبته يقرا عليه يلقيه يفكر انه مو صاحي هو ذبح الجوع يطيح ما كل شيء كله على ما يقول اعطوني طعام لا يريد ان يسال الناس.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى said that what was written in the hadith due to the severity of the hunger that one of them would experience that he would fall down due to this hunger so much so that the people of the person who saw him would think that this individual was crazy and he would put his foot on his neck and begin to يعني do ruqya or read upon him due to the fact that this individual would stand up and fall down, stand up and fall down, and it would be assumed that this individual was crazy or was affected by the jinn. And it wasn't due to this fact, it was due to the severity of the pains of hunger that this individual experienced, and it also illustrates the fact that they did not want to ask anyone. They would rather fall down out of this hunger as opposed to asking people.
هو له أن يقول من أطعمني أطعمه أطعم الله من أطعمنا إني جائع أطعموني لكن عز يتحمل.
هذا الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى
يقول بعض الناس يتحيل حتى يأكل بالحيل أو بالحرام أو بالوش حمال الله.
And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that it was designed to ask the individual, this individual who was experiencing these hunger pains, could have easily said, the one who has sent me يعني, has given for the sake of Allah. And this individual could have asked, but it was due to this Isa, that this individual responded, that this individual would not ask. And the Shaykh of Allah Ta'ala stated that this individual would have to humble, or he would bear the burden of these hunger pains And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala says that this is different from today, where you find that people get to hayya or they go to church in order to eat and actually fall into that which is the cycle of haram to feed themselves. وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت توفي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ودرعه مرهونة عند اليهود في 30 صاعا من شعير متفق عليه. وعن انس رضي الله عنه قال راهن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم درعه بشعير ومشيت الى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بخبز شعير وإهالة سرحة ولقد سمعته يقول ما أصبح لآل محمد صاع ولا أنسى وإنه لتسعة أبيات رواه البخاري.
هذا الجوع.
الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى said that this hadith shows that the hunger that he would experience.
تسع بيوت يرهن درع آلة حرب يرهنها عند يهودي.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم he left this armor that was worn, like chest or protective armor that was worn, as he gave it as a mortgage so that he could have this sa'a or this ration of food.
فقال للصحابة لفدوه بأرواحه ليس بأمواله فقط.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه
وسلم ابتلى منزل الطعام.
The Prophet
رهن درعه عند يهودي. وهذا يدل على أن البيع والشراء لا علاقة لها بالولاء والبراء. مع أن يهودي وهو عنده في المدينة. وهذه رسالة لأصحاب مصطلح المقاطعة والمقاطعة. وهو عنده رهن درعه. وما صلى الله عليه وسلم ودرعه مرهون عند يهودي. فدل على أنها مسألة شرعية لم تنسخ معمول بها. وهو من هو رسول الله الذي قال أخرج اليهود والنصارى من جزيرة العرب. فلا بد أن ننزل النصوص حتى نفهم التطبيق في الواقع النبوي. هذه لا يدركها أصحاب العواطف واللغة الحماسية. أمور الشرع لازم إلى حكمة ومعرفة بدلالة النصوص وعدم فهمها من طرف إنما تجمع النصوص في المسألة ويعرف حكمها. فها هو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مع حاجته المادية لم يسأل أحدا من أصحابه بل استخدم بعض ممتلكاته أن يرهنها حتى يأكل بقيمتها أضعفها.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى سيد أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالحديث النومش تنفش من السعدين. From these benefits, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he could have easily asked the Sahaba would have given their lives for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would have filled his house up with anything that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for, from foodstuffs. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he didn't ask the Sahaba. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he gave this protective armor as a mortgage, so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could get this portion of ration of food to feed his family. And the Shaykh Abu Bakr has stated that this is a message for the people of today who call to boycott certain countries. This illustrates the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is an object of war, a protective armor that is worn in war. The fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mortgaged this to a Yahudi, a Jew who was in Medina, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who did this, this was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who stated to expel the Jews from the Jazirat al-Arab. And the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this mortgage, this protective armor, this protective gear to a person who is a non-Muslim, it shows that this buying and selling, this does not enter into the affair of al-wala wal-bara, having allegiance or disassociation or disallegiance to the enemies of Islam. Now, this has nothing to do with this. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala is saying that we must understand all of the proofs related to a particular issue, not just look at one as opposed to the other. Rather, we look at all of the proofs and then we understand these proofs as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood them and as they came down and were practiced in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala is saying that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died in this situation, which shows that this hukum or this ruling was not mansukh or abrogated. That this is the Sharia, and this is the legislation that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died upon. That this protected vessel was given as mortgage to a non-Muslim, to a Yahudi, so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could get food for his family and feed his family. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah ta'ala again reiterated the fact that this has nothing to do with the issue of wala wal bara, like the people of today who are partying, boycotting different countries and so on and so.
And Yahud,
the Shaykh Hafidhullah ta'ala said that the Yahud, the Jews,
Ashab Diyan,
they are the people who have, or they are people who have a religion.
إلا أن أصحاب هذه الديانة
except that the people of this religion
لم يعاملهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم معاملة واحدة.
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, despite the fact that the Jews were all from one religion, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his interactions with them was not just one.
منكم من حارب.
There were those from the Yahud that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم actually waged war against.
ومنهم
and there were those from the Yahud and the Jews that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم expelled them.
ومنهم من صالحهم
and there were those that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم had a treaty with.
فهذا يدل على
and this shows that
أشياء كثيرة لا يعرفها أصحاب لغة الحماس.
And the Shaykh Habib Allah said this illustrates that there are many things that are not known to the people of Hamas or the people of violent emotions.
هذه الأحكام الشرعية مارسها صلى الله عليه وسلم.
The Shaykh Habib Allah said that these legislative rulings from the Sharia, these were legislative rulings that were practiced and engaged in by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم.
ولذلك في معاملة الدول.
And the Shaykh Habib Allah said that based upon this, with regards to the interactions between different countries with regards to the actions with non-Muslims, the Muslim rulers benefited from the interactions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with these different groups. They benefited from the interactions during the Prophet's life sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with these different groups with regards to their interaction with the non-Muslims.
مع أن اليهود يخصم.
And the Shaykh Hamid Allah Ta'ala stated that with regard to the fact that the Yahud were considered a hasan,
but even if you are ولكن إذا اضطروا إلى الأمور الاقتصادية حتى لو يرهنوا الأسلحة الثانية.
And the Shaykh Hamid Allah Ta'ala stated that even if it is related to affairs of economics, يعني it's permissible to trade with it, even if it is with regards to يعني weaponry that is used in war.
ولذلك في السياسة الشرعية استفاد الكثير من حياة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم في معاملته في السلم والحرب والصلح والقتال من حياة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وواقع تطبيقه صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذه مسائل لا يجيدها من تعلوهم نبرة العلو أو الحماس للدين ويقارن ذلك الجهل بأحكام الشريعة فتجد عنده عاطفة دينية وباعثه لا شك غيره وحب للدين ولكن يسير في غير هدي سيد المرسلين بدافع الحماس دافع الحماس إذا رفع البطن من النصوص الشرعية يقع في جانب الغلو في الدين فقد نهى رسول الله عن الغلو فتضبط المسائل وفق هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا وفق العواطف والمشاعر لا وفق النصوص الشرعية.
الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى said that with regards to السياسة الشرعية or the Sharia rulings with regards to political affairs or the dealings with other people, the correct understanding of this is exemplified in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with these different groups in the times of treaties. If there were a treaty that existed between the Prophet and another group at the times of war and in times of peace, And the Shaykh Abdul Razak stated that these people that are blinded by their emotions, or even to the extent of going to extremes in the religion, they do not understand these ahkam. They are ignorant with regards to these ahkam al-shari'ah, or these legislative rulings, with regards to what the Prophet actually practiced. And the Shaykh Abdul Razak stated that the individual who may be misled by his emotions, or his ghira, or his having jealousy of the religion, the Shaykh Hamidullah Ta'ala stated that this individual must not go to extremes, rather he is disciplined by the textual evidences from the book and the sunnah, and that this is what exemplifies to the person the correct understanding. So the individual should not be misled by his emotions or his feelings. Rather, what controls this individual or what guides this individual is the legislative proofs from the religion, which were exemplified in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam implemented these textual proofs in his dealing with different peoples with regards to the different political situations, whether it was a time of peace or a time of war or a time where treaties existed between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and different tribes and people.
أصحاب الثورات والتفجيرات لا تعجبهم هذه النصوص.
The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that the people of Tawad, the people that caused revolutions and tafsirat, explosions, these people who have gone to extremes, they are not pleased by these textual proofs that go against that which they believe or that which they are upon.
هل كان الجوع من دفعهم أن يكونوا في الصفة أن يخرجوا مظاهرات من أجل الجوع؟
The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that look at the people of Ahl al-Sufa, the extreme hunger that they were experiencing. Did this extreme hunger cause them to go out and protest?
كأصحاب مظاهرات الخبز.
Like the people who protest on behalf of bread today.
هذا الحديث يبين أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تسع بيوتات ليس فيها طعام يكفيهم. حتى الشحم رائحته متغيرة. سخنة يعني رائحة تغيرت.
The Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala said that what is written in this hadith that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was responsible for 9 households and they did not have enough which would suffice out of them. So much so that the shahm of the animal fat that they did have, it was so old that there was a rancid or putrid smell that came from it. وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال لقد رأيت 70 من أهل الصفة ما منهم رجل عليه رداء إما إزار وإما كساء فضربت في أعناقهم منها ما يبلغ نصف الساقين ومنها ما يبلغ الكعبين فيجمعه بيده كراهية أن ترى عورته رواه البخاري.
هذا حال.
And the Shaykh Abu Dawud Ta'ala stated that this demonstrates the affair or this situation that they were in.
تبدل الله هذا الحال لحال.
And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala is going to write that Allah Azzawajal changed their affair and their situation to a totally different situation.
مَا مَنْهَجِ الشَّرِيْ.
And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that what is the minhaj, the legislative sharia minhaj with regards to this situation of condition?
الصبر.
Having patience.
الصبر.
Being patient.
تَلْفَارِكْ مَا الصبر.
And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that Allah Azza wa Jalla providing an outlet or an exit from this situation, it comes with being patient. And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that the populations or the people who were patient, yani they were the ones who ظهرت or won or they were the ones who won and they were the ones who were successful.
والشعوب التي ما صبرت دمرت وأهلكت وأهميت ولم يتحقق لها.
And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that those populations who were not patient, يعني their lands were destroyed, their countries were destroyed, and whatever it was, that was the rationale of what they wanted by doing so, that was not realized or actualized. وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت كان فراش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أدم حشره ريح رواه البخاري.
أدم جلد.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى said that this word Adam it means جلد هو animal hide.
ما فيه ترف أو نعومة خشونة.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah says the thing that it shows the hardship that they experienced, that it wasn't a soft or luxurious or pleasurable life.
ولذلك كثرة الترف.
And the Shaykh Hafidhullah says that the increase of this product or leisure or luxury
يصاحبها عدم الصبر.
The Shaykh Hafidhullah says that normally it's coupled with the individual or individuals not having patience. And the Shaykh Hafidhullah has stated that the people who are in this condition, if their situation changes, they do not yatahammal, or they do not bear, or they are not patient in the face of these adversities or this change in situation. And due to this fact, Umar used to say,
يعني قللوا من الترف يعيشوا خشونة.
Umar used to say, يعني do not live lives of luxuriousness or softness, but live a life of hardship, because these blessings will not be forever.
يعني عندك قدرة تنام على فراش وطير. لو نمت على فراش خشن. عندك قدرة تأكل الناعم والطيب. لو أدبت نفسك بالشيء الذي على غير العادة من باب كسر هذا الترف.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى سيدنا نزاف الأبيض. How do we implement this? The Shaykh عبد الله تعالى said that the individual he may have enough to eat luxurious food or soft food or sleep in a nice soft bed. The Shaykh عبد الله تعالى said that the individual should discipline himself from time to time. The fact that he has this choice, sometimes sleep on the hard ground or something that is hard, not as soft as his regular bed. If the individual eats something that is not accustomed to eating, something that is not as luxurious as what he's used to, then the individual should do this. To simply discipline himself.
And
the Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that there are some people they leave from this comfortable lifestyle, they go on a safari.
ينام في الصحراء يأكل ما تيسر فيكون فيه نوع من كسر العادة.
The individual goes to the desert to experience this different type of lifestyle, which is harder than what he is normally used to. For example, the individual, he lives in the desert or sleeps in the desert for several days, and he experiences these hardships that are quite different from the comfort that he is normally used to.
ليس كسفاري اليوم رحلة.
The Shaykh Abu Nawaz has stated that it's not like the travels of today to the desert and the like. The Shaykh Abu Nawaz has stated that sometimes it's more comfortable than what the individual is normally accustomed to. And the Shaykh Abu Nawaz has reminded us that the one who has given us the pleasures of this life is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh Abu Nawaz has stated that these blessings have the respect of taxes. And the Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that a weakness and being patient and changes in situations which may take place.
No. ولكن علم
but no.
ليس هناك حال بدون.
The Shaykh Abdullah Ta'ala stated that be assured that there is no condition that is permanent.
Why
there is no condition that is permanent.
وَأَيْ شَيْءٍ يَتَغَيَّرُ قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنْفُسِكُمْ وَيَعْفُو عَنْ كَثِيرٍ.
And Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala said that if the individual experiences this change in what he is used to, then the individual should remember the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla that this is from yourself, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the one who most overlooks the fault of his servants. وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال كنا جلوسا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اذ جاء رجل من الانصار فسلم عليه ثم ادبر الانصاري فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا اهل الانصار كيف اخي سعد بن عباده فقال صالحا فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من يعوده منكم فقام فقمنا معه ونحن بضعة عشر ما علينا نعال ولا خفاف ولا خنادس ولا قمص نمشي في تلك السباحة حتى جئناه فاستأخر قومه من حوله حتى دنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه الذين معه رواه مسلم.
يعني يقصد هنا أنهم الذين صحبوه كلهم ليس فيهم يعني لا أحذية لا خف لا لباس كامل، لا، إنما ما يستر الهوى.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى السيد إذا تنزل في البخاري من الحديث إذا فات دوز الفيديو وشهور فما نص الصحابة من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم if you look at the condition they were يعني basically they had minimal clothing that which covered their final parts. There were those who didn't have shoes, those that didn't have sandals, and there were those that didn't have what was mentioned in the rest of this hadith.
يعرفون السبخة؟
The Shaykh عبد الله تعالى is asking, you know, سبخة which is mentioned in this hadith, سباع
هي الأرض المليئة بالملح.
It is a type of landscape where the earth is filled with salt.
الصحراء تكون مثلا رمال.
The Shaykh عبد الله تعالى said that in the condition of the desert, there are those areas of the desert that are sandy.
وفي مناطق نبية كلها ماء مالح.
And the Shaykh عبد الله تعالى said that there are those areas where, يعني under the earth, there is salt water.
هذه السبخة.
This is called سبخة.
ولذلك الآن بين الجبيل والدمام سبخة كبيرة.
The Shaykh عبد الله تعالى said an example from between here to there in Dammam. You see, like on the side of the road, you have this desert area where you see the whiteness from the salt that is there.
وبالمناسبة هذه السبخة من أكبر سباخ العالم.
And the Shaykh عبد الله تعالى said that the local سبخة here is from the largest salt deposits in the world.
وفيها مصنع استخراج الملح.
And the Shaykh عبد الله تعالى said that this is that the salt deposit is so large, but there's a factory there that actually extracts this salt.
ويستخرج منه. تعرفون الملح ما هو؟
هذا الشيخ عبد الله تعالى
صوديوم. ها؟ كلورين. صوديوم. بنسب. فلذلك يستخرجون منه صوديوم يستخرجون منه. هذا يتحول على بتروكيميكال.
هذا الشيخ عبد الله تعالى said that this chemical compound from salt they extract the sodium and they actually use it in some of the factories that are here in Japan.
CL.
NaCl2.
طيب كمل.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن عمران بن حسين رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم انه قال خيركم قبلي ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. قال عمران فما ادري. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مرتين او ثلاثه ثم يكون بعدهم قوم يشهدون ولا يستشهدون ويقولون ولا يؤتمنون وينذرون ولا يوفون ويظهر فيهم السمن وتذكر عليه. وعن أبي أمامة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا ابن آدم إنك أن تبذل الفضل خير لك وأن تمسكه شر لك ولا تلام على كفاء وابدأ بمن تعود. رواه الترمذي وقال
أن يبين الخيرية. فهؤلاء الذين هم خيرنا إن كانوا على هذا الفقر والجوع وهذه الحالة.
الشيخ عبد الله تعالى said there was an example from the hadith of Umar, the fact that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the best of you for the generation of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the generation thereafter, that they were the best of us. And look at their condition. They were in this condition of hunger and this condition of depravity. And the Shaykh Abid al-Watar said that they were the best generation and that it is upon us to follow their example.
ثم ذكر من يشهدون قبل أن تطلب شهادة ويقولون إذا أتمنوا ويحلفون وينذرون وهم لم يستحلفوا ولم يستنذروا ويظهر فيهم السمن. السمن من علامات كثرة الأرزاق والخير والعيش وترف الحياة.
And the Shaykh عبد الله تعالى mentioned the attributes of the people that will come, the generations that will come after them, the fact that there will be those that they give or they offer to give their bear witness, and they have not been requested to do so. There are those who swear, and they have not been requested to do so. And there are those who that they do not fulfill their trust, but they are entrusted with things. And they make covenants, and they do not fulfill their covenants. And you ask for this hadith that obesity is apparent amongst them, and the Shaykh Abdul Allah Ta'ala stated that this is due to the luxury and the leisure that they experienced in their lives and the blessing that they were given.
السنة قرينة رغد العيش.
And the Shaykh Abdul Allah Ta'ala stated that obesity is coupled with a leisure or luxurious lifestyle.
البلاد الفقيرة والفقراء ليس فيهم سمنة.
And the Shaykh Abdul Allah Ta'ala stated that in a lands that are impoverished or experience poverty, it is rare that you find obesity rampant amongst the population of these four countries.
فإذا تاب سمين يتسول دليل أنه كذا.
So the Shaykh Abu Dhabi Ta'ala stated, if an obese person comes to you begging or asking for money, then it is proven in and of itself that the person is lying.
وشبعان.
The person is shab'an, and he's filled.
Except
if this individual has debt, then the Shaykh Abu Dhabi Ta'ala stated that this is an entirely different thing. But if this individual states that he is poor and that he doesn't have food in his house,
الجواب تراه في جسمه.
The Shaykh Abu Dhabi Ta'ala stated that the answer you give him is apparent on this individual's obesity.
يا ابن آدم إنك أن تبذل الفضل خير لك. يعني تنفق.
And the Shaykh Abu Dhabi Ta'ala mentioned in his last hadith that if you give from that which is extra, I mean this is the illustration of infaq or sinning in the path of Allah.
حتى للعطاء والإكرام.
It is an encouragement to give in the path of Allah and to be generous, because it is not from the quality for an individual to be miserly or to be bakhil.
And the Shaykh
Abdullah Ta'ala stated that if the individual simply lives within his means, meaning that he doesn't have, he just lives according to that which he has is sufficient, then that is enough. And if this individual is not blamed, if he is not generous, because he doesn't have, he only has that which fulfills his basic needs. And the Shaykh Abu Dhabi Ta'ala stated that the woman begins with those who are dependent upon them for their livelihood. Because it is obligatory for the individual to spend on his children and those that he is responsible. And it comes to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that it is enough of a sin for the individual to squander those individuals that are dependent upon him for their livelihood.
الأخير.
وقال رحمه الله تعالى وعن عبيد الله بن محسن الأنصاري الخطمي رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أصبح منكم آمنا في السرب معافى في جسده عنده قوت يومه فكأنما حيزت له الدنيا. رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن.
هذا الحديث سنشرحه إن شاء الله في الدرس القادم. وبالله التوفيق، وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وجماعة المسجد يرحبون بكم على ضيافة سنعوها لكم بعد عودة هذه الدرس.
The Shaykh Abu Dhabi Ta'ala stated that we will begin next week's lesson with this hadith that we just read. And the Shaykh Abu Dhabi Ta'ala stated that the brothers from the masjid, they invite you to partake in the streets and coffee and tea as the normal habit, due to the fact that we've resumed our classes.